Dominique Strauss-Kahn hasn't been convicted of any crime in court, but it's hard to find anyone outside his home country, France, fighting his corner in print or online. And even in France, whether or not he's found guilty of the charges of attempted rape in New York, the IMF chief is widely regarded as being finished in politics. The American charges have prompted a series of revelations, though it turns out that there were a few open secrets among the French media that journalists hadn't felt compelled to go public about. Does this reveal a strikingly different attitude to officialdom? The kind of attitude that 40 years ago, for example, prompted American reporters to keep quiet about the amour of President Kennedy. We discuss the tabloid tendency, or otherwise, with Chris Horry, British author of Tabloid Nation, that's us, and Radio France journalist Christian Roudeau.
The French TVs would have been more cautious in terms of image. To get someone as famous as Mr. Strauss-Kahn handcuffed and not shaven, and I think it was a bit demeaning. And I think that even though we don't know yet if he's guilty or not, he's already politically dead. And I think it's a bit sad because this person has not been judged yet, but in a way, mediatically, Mr. Strauss-Kahn is already guilty.
Okay, Chris Horry here in the studio. How is this different here in Britain? And is it different between the red tops, the tabloids, and the broadsheet media?
Completely different. And throughout the whole, what you might call Anglo-Saxon world as well, America, basically the principle here is anybody essentially surrenders any significant right to privacy the minute they are in public office, and they're scrutinised in every aspect. I mean, it's even more extreme. The difference between France and England is one thing, but France and America, where public officials, or any kind of elected official, from the local dog catcher to the sheriff to the president, has no right in law to sue for libel, for example, or do anything that can be construed by a judge as a restraint on freedom of the press. I mean, the difference is, in America, the freedom of the press specifically is written into the Constitution.
But in the case of an internationally known British figure, for example, who had some record of hanky-panky, an eye for the ladies or whatever, that would already have been well on the record, would it? Well, certainly in the tabloid world.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got a case going through the courts now of Max Mosley, who was involved in actually rather deviant sexual behaviour. A tabloid paper ran pictures of him. He was visiting prostitutes and a brothel and so on. And there's very little concern in his politics or his business life. It's purely his sex life.
Christian, I was just about to say, why isn't there that in France? And then I thought, hang on, of course there is. Paris Match has been doing that for years.
Yes, sure. But at the same time, if you take the mainstream papers, it's not that common to put the light on the private life of a politician, because if the politician doesn't break the law, if he doesn't do something in private and do something else completely different in his public life, people are going to say, so what? It was an open secret that François Mitterrand and Jacques Chirac in the past had mistresses. And people said, so what? The French prefer to focus on programs, ideas, but not about the private lives that much. I think it would be not really well perceived if a paper had to do like the News of the World or like the Sun or a tabloid trying to organize honey traps or trying to play the agent provocateur just in order to see a politician in a bad light. It would not be accepted in France, I think.
Why is it accepted here, Chris? Honey traps, you get the impression that some of the Sunday tabloids especially are really out for that kind of scoop.
There's been a change, first of all, because if you think of a politician like Anthony Eden from another generation, he famously was, I think, dying of a serious illness all through the Suez crisis, for example, and the press, through self-restraint, didn't mention that at all. It's really the arrival of Rupert Murdoch at the end of the 1960s. The first really big one was the so-called Profumo case. Now, there was a kind of thin veneer of public interest in this because the defence minister was consorting with prostitutes. And it was alleged that the same prostitutes were consorting with Russian spies. This was in the Cold War. So on the basis of this, they had, well, this is news. This is not simply about his sexual predilections. But of course, they ran pages and pages and pages about just his sexual behaviour and all the details and the peccadilloes. And I don't think the readers really cared about the broader dimensions of the spying. And when these stories into Max Mosley or the other stars, there's almost always a sort of public interest excuse. One very important difference that many listeners will have spotted between Britain and France is that they are a republic and we have a royal family. You can always write about the royal family's sex life from the point of view of it being a national school, because their job is to, you know, have offspring. And if they are having affairs or if they're homosexual or something like that, it's automatically a legitimate news story. Also, there's a convention that the royal family won't deny anything and they will never sue you. So it's like shooting fish in a barrel. The French have solved part of the privacy problem by cutting it off at the source.
Well, cutting it off at the neck, anyway. That was Chris Horry of Tabloid Nation, Christian Woodall of Radio France.